Yeshaya Perek Hey, we're up to Pasuk Chof Dalet, the seventh tape. The Pasuk, this Perek, dealt with the vineyard of Hashem, the Kerem Hashem Tzvokos, that the Jewish nation is Hashem's vineyard, and Hashem anticipated to have the most luscious fruit, the best wine, and instead the grapes that were produced were inferior. To come back to it one last time, the Abarbanel points out how the whole Perek is focused on this one theme of the vineyard. It's not just that the vineyard, and then we mention a number of other sins and a number of faults and a number of punishments, but it's all one cohesive lesson. And just to sum up what we've learned till now in the Perek, according to the Abarbanel, Hashem wanted a vineyard. It should be a vineyard that should produce the best fruit. Kerem Hoyali Didi, my beloved, had a vineyard. And as it says in Pasuk Zayin, Ki Kerem Hashem Tzvokos Beis Yisrael, the house of Israel is Hashem's vineyard, which the Abarbanel and others learned could be referring to the 10 tribes. They're like the vineyard that produced inferior grapes and was a failure. The Ish Yehuda, while the Jews of Yehuda were Natash HaShuav, they were still Hashem's planting that Hashem took a delight in, and Hashem just wants to make sure that we're also not going to go sour, that the people of Yehuda won't copy the 10 tribes, and they won't learn the wrong deeds. But the Kerem, the vineyard, is these, the Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes. The end result was that the grapes were inferior. And as in Pasuk Zion, it concluded, Vayakav lemishpot v'hinei mispach, Hashem hoped that there would be justice, and instead there was an accumulation of sin, or like a leprosy, litztaka, there should be righteousness, v'hinei tzaka, and instead there were cries, and there were shouts, yells, from anguish. That was the basic lesson of the vineyard. But now the Navi goes through and shows how every detail of the vineyard, there was a failing, and the 10 tribes fell short on all different aspects. To begin with, it was planted by Keren ben Shomen in that fertile soil, the most ideal place for a vineyard. And therefore, in Pasuk Ches, the Navi bemoans the fact that you were in Eretz Yisrael. And in Eretz Yisrael is the best land in the physical sense, in the spiritual sense. I think we could even add the fact that Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara compares, is to the Eretz Tzvi. It's like a land that's like a deer skin. And a deer skin is able to cover the animal while it's alive. Once you take off the skin won't fit back onto the carcass. But while the animal's alive, the skin can cover the animal regardless of the animal's size. So to Eretz Yisrael really would have room for all the Jews. And yet, hoy magiye bayis babayis, one house encroaches on another, and one field meets the other, and the poor man in the middle loses his property. Do you think you're going to be alone in the land? And therefore Hashem says the splendid mansions will be destroyed, and the land won't produce. It'll only make a small amount of seed, and the produce won't be as expected. Hashem took that vineyard. Vayazkeyu, vayisakleyu. We learned that he built a fence around it. He did the positive actions to bring success. And he also removed the stones and anything, any detriment, anything that could harm the roots. He gave us the Torah with the mitzvah saseh and the mitzvah lo saseh, the positive commandments, the negative commandments, what could be done and what shouldn't be done, everything in order that the vineyard, the Beis Yisrael, would be a success. The next thing the Navi bemoans in Pasuk Yud Aleph is, hoy, woe to those who get up early in the morning. And they don't get up early in the morning to say Shema and stay up late at night for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. They don't get up early to learn. to know Hashem, they're drinking. They get up early to drink, and they stay up late at night drinking, and their focus is on parties with the music. So instead of focusing on the Torah, on what Hashem did for the vineyard, the positive and the negative, and learning the mitzvos, they're not interested. They're focused on their partying and their enjoyment, and therefore they'll go into exile because of their lack of knowledge. They'll die from hunger, and their throats will be parched. They won't be drinking wine. They won't even have water. And as they open up their mouth in laughter and in singing and enjoying and partying, so too the grave will open up and swallow them up. And all of a sudden people will get more sober. They'll be lowered. They'll become more humble. In Pasuk Tesva, Vayishachorim, Vayishbalish, they'll be lowered. But even though a king, Barov Om Hadras Melech, when a king has a mighty nation behind him, that's his splendor. But even though Klal Yisrael will be humbled, we shouldn't think for a moment that Chas V'Shalom, Hashem's honored, will be lowered. But Vayigba Hashem Tzvokos Bamishpat, everyone will realize that it's not that Hashem's people is being humiliated and Hashem is Chas V'Shalom being lowered. But what's happening to us is a punishment. And they'll realize V'Akel HaKadosh Nikdash B'Tzdaka. And they'll realize that there's the Midas Hadin, and with that Hashem will show his tzedakah for Klal Yisrael. It'll all be realized, the Midah Keneged Midah, and it won't affect the esteem that the world has for Hashem, Chas V'Shalom. But if anything, V'nikdosh B'chvodi, the way Hashem deals with those who are closest to Him, shows the greatness of Hashem. The next lesson with the vineyard was V'yita'eyu Sorek. It was planted with that choice vine that we came from an ancestry, from the Avos and from the Imahos, from a background that would have produced the best. That's the next lesson, starting in Pasuk Yurches. Hoy Moshe Avon, Bechavle Hashav. Avram Avinu was the seeker of truth. And even though the whole world was misled after their idols, Avram Avinu knew the truth, and he wasn't afraid to be the one man against everyone and propagate and spread the knowledge of Hashem to the world. And yet, there are those who pull sin with ropes of nothingness, of lies. Lie has no permanence, has no truth, it has no substance to it. Truth is an absolute. It is correct. And emes lasts forever. Sheker, the rope of nothingness, means people say something and people believe in things and do things that has no substance to it because it's totally wrong. It's the opposite of the Midas Ha'emes. And we came from the Avos and the Imos, and yet they're dragging the sin. And like cords that pull a wagon, and they have to be thick ropes in order to pull a heavy wagon. And that's the way they pull sin. Klal Yisrael is planted from the choice vine. It's not easy for a Jew to sin. The natural tendency of Klal Yisrael, I think you see it most, sometimes you see a pure, innocent child, and his desire for Torah, he's going to cheder, or he's doing a mitzvah, and his excitement is a pure innocence. And somehow, we get older, and people get a certain cynicism, and they get a certain hardening of their sensitivities exposed to the world and everything we go through. But there's the natural tendency of a Jew is to be drawn after Hashem. And to pull the sin, sometimes it's not easy to get caught by the Yetzirah, and he has to pull it with cords, thick ropes. But that's what they did. They did things to incite the Yetzirah, that caused them to be drawn away from Hashem. The next item with the vineyard was Vayiven Migdol Besocho. Hashem built a tower. It could be a tower where the watchman stays to watch the vineyard. We mentioned the tower could be for the vine to climb upward, that it shouldn't be dragging on the ground, but it could reach for the sky with a tower. And that Migdol, that tower, the Targum Onkelos says, refers to the Beis HaMikdash. And what happened to the 10 tribes? In Pasuk Chaf, Hoi, whoa, Ha'omrim. Oh, I just wanted to add one more note. On that choice vine that we were like Klal Yisrael, that we were come from the Avos and the Imahos, and Pasuk Yud Tes is a continuation of that thing. That people drag sin and they believe in falsehood. And if anything, the truth of the prophets, what the Nevi'im said, that's what people doubted. Ha'omrim Yimayar, they said, let Hashem hasten whatever he's going to do. Let's see if it really happens. You're telling us if we don't follow Hashem, there's going to be a punishment. Let's see it. So they believed in the falsehood, and the true words of the prophet, of the Nevi'im, they doubted. The tower is the Beis HaMikdash, and that's in Pasuk Chof. Hoy ha'omrim lo ra tov la tov ra. The 10 tribes went ahead, and Yeravam ben Nevat was afraid if Klal Yisrael went to Yerushalayim 3 times a year. It would be so clear to everyone that Yerushalayim is the focal point of the nation. And not only that, but only the king from Malchus Beis David was allowed to sit in the Azara. And it would be clear that the king from Yehuda is the real king. It would make his monarchy look like a false, meaningless, a cheap imitation. So he set up a rule that nobody can be Ola Regal. Nobody goes to Yerushalayim anymore. And he set up a calf, a golem, calves, and Beisel, and in Don, he set up his own Avodah Zarah, and he made his own Yom Tov. A month after Sukkot, he made his own holiday. They had their own holidays, and they had their own place of worship. And they stopped, and Yerushalayim was no longer of interest to them. That's the Hoy Ha'omrim Lo Ra Tov. They said about bad that it's good. Meaning their idols and their service is good. V'la Tov Ra, and what's Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash is bad. The light, which is the knowledge of Hashem, they consider their darkness, their idol worship, to be the light. And the true light, they look at as darkness. What's bitter, they call sweet. What's sweet, they call bitter. They consider their way of life to be the sweet path, abandoning the true sweetness of Torah, of the Avodah, and the Beis HaMikdash. In this vineyard, Vagam Yekev Chatzev Bo, we learned that there was a wine press and a place for the wine to gather. Everything was done for this vineyard. They didn't have to ship the grapes anywhere else. Everything was self-contained. And that was referring to the fact that there was nevuah, there was prophecy, that down here on earth, you could have the juices of the grape flowing. There could be wine, there could be the best. There'd be an inspiration from below. For the Nevi'im would receive their inspiration and be able, down here on earth, to spread the word of Hashem. That's what's referred to in Pasuk Chof Aleph. To be a Navi, there's a certain number of requirements. A person has to be a Chacham, he has to be wise, a Gibor, a strong person, Osher, wealthy. Chazal say he has to, Izeo Gibor, a Kovishes Yitzro, he has to have a strong control over himself, and he has to be Sameach Bechelko, he has to have a perfection of character that he feels like a wealthy man who needs no more. He's happy with what he has. But instead of having this Yekev Chotzev Bo, instead of having the wine flowing down here, and Pasuk Chof Beis, Chof Aleph, Hoya Chachomim Beinayim, they're not the real wise men. They're Chachomim in their own eyes. They think that they're wise. They're not really Chachomim. They're not fit for Nevuah. V'neged Pneim, and in front of their face, they're Nevonim, people who understand. One mark of a Chacham is Zeo Chacham Haroa Sanola. The Chacham is the one who sees in the future what his actions are going to cause. And they're only wise what's in front of their eyes, in front of their face. They don't look further. And to be a Gibor, to be a strong person, they're Giborim Lishtos Yoyin. They're strong when it comes to drinking. They can hold, they can drink, and they can drink, and they can drink more than the other person. V'anshei chayil, and they're men of valor. What's their greatness? They know how to mix their drinks. Limsoch sheichar, they can pour the strong drinks. That's the gibor that they have. It could also be anshei chayil mean men of wealth. And instead of using their wealth to help out the poor and to do tzedakah and mitzvahs and therefore not to feel dependent on others and to be totally connected with Hashem, but their wealth was anshei chayil limsoch sheichar. They use their wealth to have the strongest whiskey and schnapps and the strong drinks, that's where they put their wealth in their bar that was worth a lot. That's where they invested their wealth. So that's what happened to the Chachomim, to the Giboyrim, to the Ashirim. Instead of producing Nevi'im, that's what they produced. And the last thing we learned by the vineyard is Hashem said He's going to remove the wall, He's going to remove the hedge, the animals will come and it'll get trampled, it'll get eaten, it'll be destroyed, the vineyard, and that's where we're up to in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. So Abarbanel explains how every detail of the vineyard is alluded to in this parak. And Lachain, therefore, Kechol Kash Lashon Eish, like straws consumed by a tongue of fire, V'chashash and stubble lehova yirpe, the flame consumes and destroys. Shorsham kamok yir, these Rishoyim, or it could be it's referring to the Aseres Hashvatim, the 10 tribes, they'll be destroyed and they won't be coming back. But it'll be as if the roots, Shorsham, the roots, kamok yir, will be rotted. Sometimes the plant is destroyed, but at least the roots will reproduce. Here the roots are themselves are rotted. Upircham, and the blossom, meaning their greatness, ka'avak yala, will blow away like the dust. Pircham can mean their wealth. The Targum says, umomon, the money that they have, meaning that their greatness in this world will dissipate, and they won't produce again in the future. The pircham ka'avak yala will rise like the dust. Kimoasu, because they despise the Torah Hashem Tzavakos. The Torah of Hashem, it could be referring to the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, Veis Imras Kedosh Yisrael, and the words of the Holy One of Israel, the Torah Shebal Peh, the words that are the oral law, Nietzu, they scorned. They despise the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh, and therefore they'll deserve this punishment. As I say, the very fact to make their idols and leave Yerushalayim and leave the Beis HaMikdash and set up their own service, that alone goes against all the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebal Peh. Although it's of note that when the tremendous tzaddik, Shaul HaMelech, who was, when he became king, he was perfect. Chazal say, Ben Shona Shaul B'molcho, he was like a one-year-old baby that had no faults at all. When he didn't listen to the Navi, the words in Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tesvov, were Kimo Asto Estavar Hashem. You despise, you abhor the word of Hashem. So sometimes, even as strong as a language it is, it's hard to know if it was as bad as it seems, or, again, perhaps the blame should be placed mainly on their leaders and on their king, who didn't allow them to go to Yerushalayim, and he set up the alternative worship. But it could be the people weren't as bad, and even though the term is the harshest, but you find that from the perspective of the Navi, from the perspective of God, it's kimoah, so it's used a term of as despising and abhorring the Torah. But Al Kane, therefore, in Pasuk Chav Hei, Chara Af Hashem Ba'amo, so Hashem's anger burned against his nation. Vayed Yodo Olav, and Hashem extended his hand over Klal Yisrael. Vayakeyu, and he struck Klal Yisrael. Meaning, being hit with the hand of Hashem, Kaviyochel, Hashem of course has no physical form, but it means that it's a clear blow from Hashem, it's not an accident, it's not happenstance, but it'll be clear it's a punishment from Hashem. Vayirgezu Eharim, and the mountains tremble. And the mountains could be referring to the kings, the leaders of the people. Vatini Vlosam Kasucha, and their carcasses will be kasucha, like what's expelled from the body. Kasucha refers to things like phlegm or vomit, some Mephorshim say. What's expelled and disgusting from the body will be kasucha bekerev chutzos, in the middle of the streets. And there were many kings from the Aseres Hashvatim, from the 10 tribes that were killed. There was Achav and his sons, a king Zechariah ben Yerovam, Shalom ben Yovesh, Pekachya ben Menachem, Pekach ben Remal Yohu, learning through the the Sefer Melachim, the Book of Kings, you'll see there were many kings that were killed, and they had a dishonorable death. They were like the Nivlosim was Kasucha, was like refuse, Bekerev Chutzos in the middle of the streets. Becholzos lo shovapo. And with all this, Hashem's anger didn't turn back. Va'od yado netuyin, Hashem's hand was still outstretched, kaviyachol. It could be whatever punishment the kings had and the leaders had wasn't enough. Hashem still was going to bring a punishment on the Aseres HaShvatim, on the 10 tribes. Hashem will raise a banner to all the nations from far away. Throughout the whole period of the Shoftim, of the judges, and the early times of the kings, constantly we'll see there were always battles and wars with neighboring countries. There was no lack of countries around them on all the different borders that Klal Yisrael suffered from. And somehow Klal Yisrael didn't get the message that they would do tshuva, especially in the times of the Shoftim, they did tshuva, and then a judge would arise and save them from the enemy, and then there would be many decades of tranquility, and then again they would slip in sin, and then again there'd be a nation would attack, and they would do tshuva, and there'd be another leader to arise, another shofate. But now there had to be a stronger message. And the message would be, if Klal Yisrael is attacked from a nation from far away, a nation that has no connection with the Jews, that has there's no territorial disputes, it's not a nation that's a neighbor with whom there could be friction, Hashem will raise a banner. V'nosa neis l'goyim will raise a banner to the nations merachok from far away. So it's obviously a message if a nation comes to attack from far away and goes specifically for the Jewish people, it'll be a message from Hashem. Out of all the nations, why do they choose such a faraway country to attack? The banner will be raised, v'sharak lo miktzei haaretz, and Hashem will like whistle to this nation, miktzei haaretz, from the ends of the earth. Whistling is the type of thing you do to call a dog or call the animals. They give the whistle and the animal comes. And this nation that's going to come, it will be cruel and will be like the animals, like you summon them with a whistle. But the banner is raised, the whistle is sounded, v'hine mehera. And behold, it's surprising. Like all of a sudden when the time comes, this nation is going to come mehera quickly. That's how they're going to mobilize and they're going to come to attack Klal Yisrael. But it's going to be quick. There's not going to be a long, drawn-out gathering of their troops. They're going to move quickly, and once they're on the route, Kal Yavo, they're going to come light-footed. They're going to travel quickly. They'll assemble quickly, they'll mobilize, and then they will travel quickly. I say a lot of the Mefarshim learn it's going on the Aseres HaShvatim. It certainly fits in well with the Psukim, and it's more enjoyable to assume the punishment already happened hundreds of thousands of years ago. But Ein Oyef, Ein Koshelbo, there won't be anyone who's weary. Oyef, Ayefus, weariness comes from traveling very quickly. Ein Koshelbo, and there will be nobody who'll stumble, meaning the natural result of rushing is to feel tired. That's the oyef. Koshel is sometimes there are obstacles on the road that can also slow them down. Sometimes they have to take a break because they're tired. Sometimes the road is not smooth and it slows their progress. But ain't oyef vein koshel bo. Nobody's going to be weary. Nobody's going to stumble. Lo yonum v'lo yishon. Lo yonum, they won't sleep. The Malbim says Lo Yonum is referring to the guy who, from exhaustion, falls asleep. That's the Lo Yonum. And Velo Yishon is a person who, even if he didn't have an exhausting day, but everyone has to sleep at night. That's the normal sleep. But they're going to travel as if there's no night. It's Lo Yonum Velo Yishon. They're just going to be travel so quickly as if they won't sleep at night. Lo Niftach Ezor Chalotzov. If a guy's, you know, this is a concept I don't think we have nowadays because our pants have elastics. But in those days when the pants, if the guy didn't have a belt on, so he'd every moment have to stop to pull up his pants. But v'lo niftach ezer chalotzov, the belt around his loins won't open up. Now, if it would open up, his belt would be broken. He wouldn't be able to run. V'lo nitach sroch na'olav, and the strap of his sandals, of his shoes, also won't snap. Now, they had a whole intricate strap work, the way their footwear was on their foot, their gear. It's possible that the strap should break, and they can still walk, but at a slower pace. But even that didn't happen. The Ezer Chalotzov, the belt around their waist, wasn't open. That would have really slowed them down. And even something minor like one of the straps of their foot, of their shoe, even a strap like that didn't snap. In other words, nothing slowed their movement. It could also be a pshat. V'lo niftach ezor chalotzov, when they went to sleep at night, they didn't bother undoing their belt, getting into pajamas, taking off their shoes. Nothing happened. They slept in their uniform on the go. They didn't undo their belt. They didn't take off their shoes. They were constantly on the move. And their weapons, ashechitzov shnunim, the arrows were sharp. V'chol kashtosov deruchos, and their bows were stretched out like they're ready to shoot. It's like they traveled with their loaded rifles. Their bows were drawn out. Parso susov, the hooves of his horses, katsar nechshavu, is like a rock. If the horse doesn't have horseshoes, it's difficult for the horse to run on a rough terrain. On a soft dirt is one thing, but if it doesn't have horseshoes, it can't travel on hard cement or on hard, rough terrain. But here the hooves of his horses, katsar nechshavu, the hoof is like a stone. It's solid like a rock, so the horse can run without any pain. It could also mean katsar, the hooves themselves seem to be like an enemy, that the horse has such strong legs and such strong hooves, it's like it's a separate weapon. It's like everything seems to be pointed and aimed against Klal Yisrael. It's like an enemy to it by itself against us. V'galgalov kasufa, and his wheels are like a storm, the wheels of the chariot. In other words, it's the horses had hooves of stone that they're able to run effortlessly. But the truth is they didn't even need the horse. The wheels of their chariot by themselves, the galgal of kasupa, is like propelled by a storm. The Malba mentions, in other words, they're able to travel without the horses. I wonder if that would be an allusion to, like, nowadays the automobiles and the tanks and things like that can travel. The wheels themselves seem to be propelled like a storm wind. Sha'ogalo kalovi. The enemy has a roar like a lion. Yishak ha'kafirim. A roar like the kafir. A kafir is a young lion cub. Now, the adult lions have a scarier roar. The younger lions, the roar is not so powerful, but they roar a lot more often. So on one hand, sha'ogalo kalovi, and the quality of the roar, it's like a lovey. And the quantity, the number of roars, it's a constant scare. There's a yishak ha'kafirim, like the young lion cubs, he'll roar. The yinhom, and there'll be a growling. Now a lion growls when it doesn't have food, when it doesn't have the prey. But here the enemy will be v'yinhom, he'll growl, v'yochez teref, even though he grabs the prey, and it has the spoils, and it has the food, and it's still growling, and not satisfied. V'yafli, and he'll escape with what he captured, v'ein matzo, and no one can stop this lion. So the enemy will come quickly, and the weapons will be the best, and there'll be that scare and the terror of the roar like a lion. V'yaflid, and he'll carry away his prey, v'ein matzil, and nobody can stop him. Again, it would seem to be referring to the Aseres HaShvatim, who were carried away, and the tribe of Yehuda and Binyamin weren't able to, nobody could stop them, and they were carried away. V'yinhom alav, in Pasuk Lamed, and the enemy will roar against Klal Yisrael by Yomahu on that day, Kenamas Yom, like the roar, like the roar in the of the sea, the rumbling waves. V'nibad la'aretz, and Klal Yisrael will look to the land, will look around, who's coming to help them? Instead of looking to Shamayim, instead of looking to the heavens, where is Hashem to help them? They're going to look to the earth. Maybe the king of Mitzrayim will help them out. Maybe they can have an alliance with somebody else. Their allies will come. V'nibad la'aretz, they look to the land. V'hinei choshech, and there's the darkness tsar of only the enemy. They look out and they only see the darkness of the enemy. V'or, and the light, choshech ba'arifeho, is darkened in the sky. Ba'arifeho can be like af shamov ya'ar futol. Even the heavens drop the dew. Ba'arifeho can be referring to the heavens because it drops the dew. Ya'arov kamotar likhi. That's one meaning of the word ba'arifeho, but it's taken to mean the sky. It could also mean that normally, sometimes at night when it's nice and dark and quiet, you're able to have a peaceful sleep. And you look forward to nighttime when you can go to sleep and things quiet down and you don't have the glaring lights. But here, V'nibad aretz v'hinei choshech, it's the darkness tsar of the enemy. It's the darkness of fear, knowing that the enemy is coming. It's not a darkness of quiet and rest. V'or, in the light that every day gently becomes a twilight zone and then becomes night, hamariv aravim. But here the light is choshech, becomes dark, barifeho, in the sky. It's not a gradual day becoming night, but in the sky all of a sudden it becomes dark. Most of the Meforshim learned the pasuk as v'hinei choshech tsar, there's the darkness of the enemy. The truth is, the trup for the Balei Kriya, the ta'amim, seems to indicate differently. V'nibad la'aretz v'hinei choshech, there's a zokef katan. That's a bit of a break. Tsar v'or, there's a munach in another zokef katan. Tsar v'or is like an independent phrase. And Rashi explains it can mean v'nibad la'aretz. Klal Yisrael will look to the land to see who's going to come to help them. V'hinei choshech, and it's only dark. Tsar, both the enemy, va'or, and the light, meaning their allies, whoever should have been on their side, whoever should have helped them, their source of light, it was all choshech barifeho. It was all darkened in the sky. Everything was dark. The darkness and the light, it was all dark. And the Malbim says, it could be at this point, till now we were talking about the enemy. The enemy coming quickly, the weapons of the enemy, and the roar, the terror of the enemy. And in Pasuk Lamed, it looks at Klal Yisrael as being a ship that's buffeted at sea. V'yinhom alav v'yomahu kinamas yom. The roar of the enemy will be like the people on a boat that have the smashing waves and the rumble of the sea. V'nibad la'aretz, and the guy who's there out at ocean is weary, from the word yilove, to become weary. But v'nibad is an exertion and a weariness trying to get to land. V'nibad la'aretz, they just want to get to land. But everything's against them. V'hinei choshech, it's pitch black. It's like the guy in the middle of the ocean and he has no idea where the land is. Is it to his right, to his left? He doesn't know where to go. It's all dark. Tsar. Tsar can mean the rock. Like we had in Pasuk Chof Ches, we just learned, Parso Susov Katsar Nechshavu. Tsar can mean a rock. Like Chorvos Tsurim. The Tsur is a rock. Tsur Yisrael, the rock of Israel. Tsur, Tsar is a similar word. Tsar. They're there in the ocean, but it's not just the open sea. There are rocks and boulders, and the ship is ready to smash against one of these boulders. There's the tsar, the rock. V'or, or can mean a torrential rain, related to the word like yor. V'hinei min ha-yor, from the yor came out the seven cows in Paro's dream. The word is yor. Tsar va'or, there are other places in Tanakh that or refers to rain. And here's a tremendous rain that even if it wouldn't be nighttime, the storm darkens the day. And choshech ba'rifeho, it's darkened in the sky. That's Perek Hay. Now begins a new Perek. We mentioned this in the beginning in Perek Aleph. Bishnas Mos Hamelech Uziyahu, in the year of the death of the king Uziyahu, Yeshayah is shown a vision, which we'll discuss shortly. He's shown a vision. And then Hashem is going to ask, who will go with me on a mission to rebuke Klal Yisrael, to tell them about the punishment that's coming? And Yeshayah volunteers, and he says that he will do it. And Pasuk Ches va'omar hinini shalcheini, here I am, send me. Yeshayah volunteers for the mission. And there are Meforshim that learn that this Perek is really where Yeshayah begins. And for whatever reason, it's printed later, a muktam mucher b'Torah, because it was felt most important to begin Yeshayah with the lessons about the sins of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, and later on we'll talk about how Yeshayah became a Navi. Or it could be that this Pasuk Yeshayah said Nevuas during the lifetime of Uziyahu. We know he said life in Nevuah during the lifetime of four kings, Uziyahu, Yosam, Ochaz, and Yechizkiyahu. Could be he said earlier Nevuas in the lifetime of Uziyahu, and this happened right now in the death, in the year of the death of HaMelech Uziyahu. We'll also see there was a Chazal who learned that Uziyahu at this point did not die. He got saras. In fact, he's referred to Bishnas Mos HaMelech Uziyahu. He's referred to as a king. And we know, Ein Shulton B'yom HaMoves, on the day of death, there is no king. He's not a king when he dies. But here he was physically alive, but he had saras. He had leprosy, and he's ostracized, and he had to separate from society, and it's as if he was dead. Bishnas Mos, but he was still HaMelech Uziyahu. Before we learn the Perek, I just wanted to mention, to get a little idea of who Uziyahu was, because we're going to talk about Uziyahu, what he did wrong, and and why this vision happened when he got saras, when he got leprosy. In Divrei Hayomim, Beis, in Chronicles, in Perek Chav Vav, it says as follows. Uziyahu was 16 years old when he became king. He was the king for 52 years. Vayaz hayosher be'eni Hashem. He did what was proper in the eyes of Hashem. Kechol asher osa amatzio aviv, like his father who was a tzaddik. Vayihi lidrosh Elokim, he would seek out Hashem b'mei Zechariyahu and the times of Zechariah. Hamevin biroso Elokim. The Zechariah was someone who understood visions of Hashem. And the king Uziyahu would seek out Hashem during the times of Zechariah. Uvimei dorshu es Hashem. And during the years that he sought out Hashem, hitzlicho Elokim, Hashem gave him success. And the Perek continues how he did battles against the Plishtim, and he defeated, and the people of Ammon brought him presents, and he became very powerful. Ki hechzik ad lamola, his strength, his power became greater and greater. Vayiven Uziyo migdolim b'Yerushalayim, he made towers and fortresses, and he dug wells, and he had cattle. Ki ohev adama hoya, he loved agriculture. He did a lot of great things. He went out to battle, and it discusses he had some type of special defense system for Yerushalayim. And then in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Uchechez Koso, and as this king Uziyahu became strong, Gova Libo Ad Lahashchiz, his heart became so haughty to the point of destruction. He became so great, and he was so great he was about to be destroyed. Vayimol Bashem Elokov, and he betrayed Hashem, his God. Vayovol Heichal Hashem, and he entered the Heichal, he entered the Beis Hamikdash. Lahakdir al Mizbach HaKetores, to bring ketores on the mizbeach, on the altar. What the Kohanim did, they would bring in the ketores. He was so inspired and so great and so powerful, he wanted to do it. So he entered the Beis HaMikdash to do the avoda of the ketores. And the Kohen followed him, the Kohen Gadol, with the other Kohanim. There were Shmonim B'nei Choyel. There were 80 strong Kohanim. And to their credit, they spoke up against the king. Vayamdu aluzio hamelech. And they stood against the king. And they said to him, Lo lecho ziyohu. Again, you see their greatness. They didn't even refer to him as the king Uzio. They let him know clearly, you can be the king and you can do everything. But not this. You can't do the avod in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo lecho ziyo. It's not you, Uzio, have the right lahakdir l'Hashem. Ki lakohanim b'nei Aaron, hamekudoshim lahakdir. It's for the Kohanim who are sanctified. They're the ones who can bring the ketores. Say min HaMikdash. Leave the temple. Ki mo'alta, because you've been treacherous. V'lo lecho lekovod me'lei Hashem Elokim. It's not going to be an honor for you. So as we can understand, he became enraged. He was furious. He was holding the ketores, the pan of ketores, and he was all ready to bring it to the mizbeach. He was about to do the avoda, and you have 80 of these strong kohanim, and they forcefully rebuke him. And with his rage with the kohanim, all of a sudden, tzaras, leprosy, appeared on his forehead, lifnei ha-kohanim, in front of the kohanim, beveis Hashem, in the Beis HaMikdash. Me'al mizbach ha-ketores, and he was right near the mizbeach, the altar used for ketores. And Azaryo, the Kohen Gadol, turned to him, and all the kohanim, and they saw the tzaras right there on its forehead. Vayav hiluhu misham, and they rushed him out of the Beis HaMikdash, v'gamhu nidchaf lotzeis, and he also hastened to leave. He was aware, he felt it when he got to Tzaras, he knew what happened. He also was in a rush to leave. Ki nigo Hashem, because Hashem had afflicted him. And then Uzio the king was a mitzora ad yomoso, till the day of his death. Vayeshev Beis HaChofshis, and he lived in the place of asylum, Chazal learned, in the Beis HaChofshis, the house where all the free people are. It's a place where none of us want to be. The free people are those who have passed on, who just, they're free. They're free. As it says in Eov, whether a person's wealthy or poor, sick, or whatever his, or healthy, everyone's the same in the cemetery. They're all free. And that's where he lived, because he couldn't, made him a booth, a house there. Ki nigzar mibeis Hashem, he was banished from the Beis HaMikdash, and his son took over. His son Yosam, who was a tremendous tzaddik, and for 16 years, his son served as the king in the name of his father. He didn't take over the throne for himself, he just was the acting king on behalf of his father. That was Uzio. Now we're going to learn, besides the fact that there was tzaras, one other novi that's important to know. We learned this on one of the Yom Tovim, on Sukkos. It talks about in the future, whether it means literally or figuratively, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come and there'll be a war by Har HaZeisim and the mountain will split. In Zechariah Perek Yud Dalid, and it says in Pasuk Hey, V'nastem Gei Harai, you'll flee by the valley in the mountain. In other words, Har HaZeisim will split, and there'll be a valley in the middle, and you'll be fleeing in that valley. Ki Agia Gei Harim El Otzal, this valley that's created between the mountains will reach a place called Otzal. And the people are going to go fleeing there. V'nastem, and you'll flee, Kasher Nastem Ipnei Horash, as you fled from the earthquake, Bimei Uziyah Melech Yehuda, in the days of Uziyah, the king of Yehuda. So obviously, besides the leprosy, and we're going to learn about it in this perek, there was an earthquake. There was a tremendous commotion, and what Uziyah had done to try to do the avoda of the Kohanim created tremendous upheaval. We'll begin perek Vav. and Bishnas Mos Hamelech Uziyo, in the year of the death of the king Uziyo, Vo'eres Hashem, I saw Hashem, Yoshev Al Kisei Rom V'Nisa, sitting on the throne, exalted and elevated, V'Shulov in the bottom, it can mean the legs of the Kisei, Maleim Es HaHeichel, filled the Heichel. I guess one more introduction before we study this a little more. The Gemara in Brachos has a discussion that Chizkiyo HaMelech, who was one of the greatest tzaddikim, Hashem told him he was going to die, Kimeis Ato V'lo Sichye, and he's not going to live in the world to come. And Yeshaya was told to give him this message. And the reason is because Chizkiyo didn't raise a family, he didn't get married, he wasn't Osik in Pru Revu. And the reason why Chizkiyo told him, because he saw that his son was going to be a Rasha. His son was going to be no good, and he knew it prophetically, and therefore he didn't want to have a son. If it's going to be a son like that, it's a greater honor to Hashem that there shouldn't be such a son. And Yeshaya was told to give him the message that he should do anyways, his mitzvah, the mitzvah that he should do, to have children, he should do what he has to do, and Hashem will do whatever Hashem does. It's not his business, he should just do the mitzvah, don't worry about the son. Chizkiyo said, if that's the case, Yeshaya, you're giving me Musar. I would like to marry your daughter. And in the zechus that the child will have a grandfather like Yeshaya HaNavi, and he'll be my son, hopefully with all the zechusim he'll turn out well. And that's what happened. Yeshaya married the daughter of, Chizkiyo HaMelech married the daughter of Yeshaya HaNavi. They were cousins. As we mentioned before, Yeshaya was related to the royal family. Anyways, their son turned out to be the Rasha that Chizkiyo foresaw. His son was Menashe. And the Gemara says, the Gemara in Yevamos, on Daf Mem Tes Amud Aleph, Menashe made idols, and Yeshaya rebuked him for why he made Avodah Zarah. And Menashe turned to him and he said, you yourself contradict what the Torah says. Because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'choy. Nobody can see Hashem. And you yourself said, Vo'eres Hashem, I saw Hashem. And he pointed out other contradictions, and the Gemara relates how Menashe killed Yeshaya HaNavi, his grandfather, the tremendous tzaddik. This perek deals with very esoteric concepts, and we're just going to go through it quickly because even though there are mafarshim that deal with it in depth, the Abarbanel has pages on it, the Malbim even discusses it, and of course the Rambam is in Mor Nevuchim. But it's difficult, and I don't understand it, and I certainly wouldn't be able to explain it. But I myself don't comprehend. But Vo'eres Hashem, on the simple level, it means Bishnasmos HaMelech Uziyo. At this time, when Uziyo, according to Chazal, got Saras, he got leprosy. Vo'eres Hashem, Yeshaya saw Hashem. What it means in simple thing is like, if you were to tell somebody, I see what you're saying. It means that I understand, I comprehend. I can see what you mean, means I have some type of understanding. Hashem has no form. There's nothing that a person could see. But somehow Yeshaya got a certain comprehension that was much greater than any mortal normally experiences. And he saw Hashem, whatever that means, Yoshev Al Kisei, sitting on the throne, Ram Venisa, that's exalted and lofty and way above this earth. But Hashem conducts the world in two ways. There's the throne, where Hashem is sort of sitting, kaviyocha, whatever that means. It's Hashem resides, and there's a permanence, and there's a supervision on the world in the normal manner of like a person sitting, who is stationary. And then there's, sometimes Hashem does a nace, he does a miracle, and he changes nature. And we'll see what that's referred to in a moment. But he saw Hashem, Yoshev Al Kisei, Ram V'Nisa. He was aware of the fact that Hashem is Mashkiach and Hashem supervises on what happens on this world. V'shulav Maleim Es HaHeichel, it could mean the bottom of the Kisei HaKavod, filled the Heichel, meaning on this world there was that hashkocha, that supervision, the kisei hakavod, that permanent throne, reached down here on earth. Srafim omdim imalo. There were the fiery malachim. The Targum says, shamshin kadishin, the holy attendants, omdim imalo, were standing before Hashem. And the Malba mentions it could mean there was srafim, these fiery angels standing mima'alo, above the kisei hakavod. That sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will utilize malachim, angels, and they'll have a power above the kisei hakavod, above the normal, permanent, derech hateva, natural run of events. But he'll use malachim above that to supersede and to run against the path of nature. And there was srafim omdim mimalo, there were malachim that were above this kisei hakavod. Sheish kenafayim le'echad, each one of them had six wings, and of course, the wing, we're not able to see a malach. It's not in the physical sense, and what it means by a wing, the wings represent different things. Either means that a malach is able to quickly, as fast as possible, be on the other end of the universe, or it can mean he uses a wing to cover himself, b'shtayim yichaseh fonav, with two wings the malach covers his face, that he shouldn't see the Shechina, as Rashi says. Or b'shtayim yichaseh raglav, with two wings the malach covers his feet, because it says the feet of the malachim is v'kanfeim, is a kaf egel, it's like a calf, and it might chas v'sholem remind of the sin of the egel hazov. So he keeps those feet covered that it shouldn't be noticed, the sin of Klal Yisrael. Uvishtayim ya'ofef, and with two wings, he flapped the wings, and that was a way of singing Shira and praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says, compares the fact that we have the Nevuah that Yechezkel saw also with the Kisei HaKavod. We laid it on the first day of Shavuos. And the Gemara says in Chagiga, again we are not able to comprehend what all these things mean, but the Gemara says Yechezkel was like a villager who goes into the palace. And he's overawed by everything because he's never seen anything comparable in his little village. Yeshaya was like a person in the metropolis, in the bustling city, who goes to the palace. And there were things that impressed him and that awed him, but he wasn't as amazed as the simple villager. And therefore Yeshaya speaks a lot briefer than Yechezkel's long description of what he saw. And there were things that he leaves out. Here he mentions the Seraphim, but he doesn't go into the Chayos HaKodesh, and there's a lot more description in Yechezkel, because Yechezkel was more awed by what he saw. V'korazel zev omar. And one malach, or one group of malachim, these would call to those, they would call to each other. V'omar, and then they would say the following declaration. And Rashi says they had to call to each other. They took permission that nobody should begin his praise of Hashem before the other. Shlo yakdim ho'echad, Rashi says. V'yaschil, nobody should precede the other and begin. V'yischayev sreifa. And that malach would deserve to be burnt up. So the malachim had to perfectly time it, to synchronize it, that it should be in unison. And that's what we say in Kedusha, in our davening, in Shachris. Kedusha kulam ke'echad onim. The Kedusha, they all said together. They made sure to call to each other and to make sure they would begin at the exact same moment. And they said, Kadosh, 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 holy, holy, holy is Hashem Tzavakos, is Hashem. One explanation is like we refer to Hashem as the Melech Malchei Hamalochim, the king of over the kings of the kings. So Kadosh, there are those, there's holiness, there are those who are holy. There's the Kadosh Kadosh, those are holy over those who are holy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest holy you could be over the holy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kadosh over that. Meloch Al Haaretz Kavoda, the whole earth is filled with the honor of Hashem. And the Targum says, as we say also in davening, Makabling Dain Min Dain, they receive from each other permission to begin, and they say, Kadesh Bishmei Meroma, and the high elevated heavens, Hashem is sanctified. Ilah, the lofty place, Beis Shechinte, where Hashem, the Shechina, rests. Kadesh Al Ara, Hashem is holy here on earth. Ovad Gevurte, what's the product of Hashem's power? Kadesh La'olam Al-Olmei Al-Maya, the Kiddush of Hashem is for all eternity. And one of the Mefarshim says that afterwards, it could be it's explaining these concepts. Hashem Tzvokos, Hashem Yudkei Vovkei is Hoya Hova V'yiyah, that Hashem was, is, and will be. And Tzvokos means Hashem is in charge of all the hosts of heaven, Meloch Al Eretz Kevodo, and His honors here on earth. So you have the Hashem means Kaddish la'olam al-olmei al-maya. The Tzvokos is the Kaddish al-bishmei meromo ilo b'shchinte, the Kaddish in Shemayim. And the Meloch al-Eretz Kavodo is His Kedusha down here on earth. Vayonu Amos Hasipim. So that was the end of this part of the Nevuah. With the Shira of the Malachim. And then when this happened, Vayanu Amos HaSipim, the doorpost, the Sipim, that were Amos, that were many Amos tall, all of a sudden began to shake. It could also mean Vayanu Amos, they shook a distance of many Amos, the Sipim, these doorposts. Or as in the Beis HaMikdash, he imagined the doorposts were shaking violently, these tall doorposts, so they were shaking far apart. Mikol HaKori, from the sound of the Malach who was calling, Vabayis Yimole Yoshon, and the house, the Beis HaMikdash, was kaviyochol full of smoke. And we're going to see in Yirtzeh Hashem next week what Yeshaya's reaction to this Nevuah was. Right.